Certainly, the Wall Street Journal interview got a lot of attention regarding a decision on the production of Roundup, a decision coming in a matter of months. What are the factors in that decision moving forward as you see it, Martha?
Yeah, thanks for the question today. So, you know, we've been faced for nearly a decade now with attacks on Roundup and the glyphosate products line. And due to those attacks and the situation from a legislative standpoint and from a litigation standpoint, we're at a point now where we're going to have to make a decision on whether or not we can continue to be in the Roundup business. And that's not something we take lightly. This is a place that we never expected to be in. Glyphosate and the Roundup brand is one of the hallmark brands of our company, such a pivotal product for agriculture, pivotal on my own family's farm. And so this is, again, not something we take lightly, but something that we're having to consider, and we're looking at all options. But really important that, you know, your listeners know that no decisions have been made. And so we're going to have to see what happens in the months and weeks to come. But for now, our CEO has very clearly in that Wall Street Journal article helped people to understand that this is a situation that needs to be solved in months, not in years.
You talked about the litigation. Obviously, we've all seen those cases. We know what the science says. This has been at least petitioned to go to the Supreme Court once again. When would we know if they would review that case? Is there any, do we know of a timetable, or would there be?
Yeah, so we filed with the Supreme Court, asked them to review this case a few weeks ago here in early April. I believe it was on April 6th. And so we will hopefully know sometime as early as July, but could be as late as September or October as to whether or not the Supreme Court does decide to take this case. And we feel good about our chances with that because there is right now split decisions. So there have been appellate courts that have ruled in our favor and then appellate courts that have ruled against us. And that's the kind of thing that normally leads to the Supreme Court taking a case. And we really hope that they will do this so that we can get to that place of certainty around who is the authority on labeling of pesticides in the U.S.
You also mentioned at the legislative level, we're based in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and in the state legislature, the preservation of crop protection tools was one of the issues that's been discussed in Bismarck this year. I know that's in other states as well. Is that a factor in all of this as well?
It is, and we are so thrilled and so appreciative of the legislators in North Dakota who passed through the House and the Senate, House Bill 1318, that happened earlier this week, and now it's sitting on the governor's desk, and we sure hope that Governor Armstrong will sign the bill into law here in the next few days, and we're working on this in other states as well. Also, Georgia legislature has passed this and is also sitting on Governor Kemp's desk right now, and so we'll see if he signs it into law also hopefully in the coming days. But this does play into this because this whole situation is about labeling of pesticides and who the authority is. And so what this legislation in North Dakota that, again, the legislators so fantastically passed this week, what this does is reassert that EPA is the authority when it comes to determining the human health effects and carcinogenicity of pesticides. And states have a role to play in that. When we get our federal registrations on any pesticide, there's also a state regulation or registration process that is followed. And so these bills don't change anything with this. It just makes clear of what I've always known. The label is the law. Any of us that have ever gone through pesticide applicator training know that the label is the law. And that's what this legislation does, is just reassert or make a little bit clearer that EPA is the authority in the U.S. for determining pesticide labels.
Martha, I'm curious, as you mentioned, our farmers are pretty dependent on Roundup, glyphosate. If a decision was made not to have it produced domestically, do you know if there's enough generic product coming from some of the overseas channels that could meet the demand that we'd have for glyphosate?
Really hard for us to say that. What I can tell you is that Bayer supplies around 40% of the glyphosate in the world. In some years, you know, that can be even higher than that, just based off of what happens with imports and various things. But what we can say is that if we did have to exit the market, that would be 40%. that would go off the market. And, you know, I have an econ degree. I think we all understand supply and demand and what happens in a situation like that. And, of course, the other suppliers for this is primarily China. There's perhaps some other places in Asia, too. But as of right now, it's primarily China where the generic glyphosate comes from. And, of course, we all know what is happening with tariffs and other things right now. As well as, you know, this is American manufacturing. So our glyphosate starts off in Idaho, where it is mined, and then it is formulated and packaged in both Iowa and Louisiana. And those are well-paid jobs in rural America, the epitome of what American manufacturing is, what President Trump is trying to keep here in the U.S. And so so to us, it's not only about that supply for farmers that matters, but it's also about the economic side of what American manufacturing of crop protection tools and the benefit that provides to rural America. And so, again, we really hope that that's not the path we're going to have to take. Those decisions haven't been made. But if we can't get this legislative or judicial relief, you know, we're at a place where this is just not sustainable with billions of dollars in litigation fees every year. Right now, we are not making money from the standpoint of selling glyphosate and selling Roundup because of how high these litigation expenses are. And that the fact is that there doesn't appear to be an end in the future unless we are able to get more states like what North Dakota did to pass legislation or to get that relief from the Supreme Court.
Would this have any impact on the traded products that we have?
Like from a seed standpoint?
Yeah.
I don't think so, other than from the standpoint of availability. So it shouldn't have any impact on the registrations of those traits, of the glyphosate traits. But again, the concern here would be farmers having a ready access to glyphosate, as well as, you know, the Roundup that we make here is the best Roundup. It's the best glyphosate in the world. It has, from a purity standpoint, from a consistency standpoint, is the best product that is out there. But as of right now, no, we do not expect to have any impact on our seed portfolio. Just really want to make sure that people understand what has happened and how appreciative we are of the legislators in North Dakota to be stepping in here. We know how busy farmers are right now. It's raining where I am right now, and I think it's raining across most of the Midwest, but we know planting season is getting going here at a time when glyphosate is used, in particular in those pre-emerge and burn-down situations. And so the importance of this product, it feels, is so much in this time of the year. And so we appreciate the support that we've had. Ask for continued support. If people are looking for additional information here, would direct them towards the Modern Ag Alliance. And their website is www.controlweedsnotfarming.com. And there's lots of additional resources there to learn more about this. And we would welcome people joining us in this fight to protect not only glyphosate, but all crop protection tools.